Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. And we are live. Welcome everyone to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman. I am a marriage coach for women in business. And as you know, we are taking a topic and really breaking it down into the four pillars. So this month is January and we're talking about money. And the first topic, the first pillar that we're addressing is money and business. So today with me is Laura Waldman, and she is the best person to talk about money and business because it is so aligned. So Laura, introduce yourself, tell everyone why you are so awesome.
Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Waldman. I'm also known as the Abundance Activator. I'm the author of the book Money Manifestation Mastery. I've been a healer for over two decades, and I use my skill as a healer in people's business and finances to help you transform your business and financial reality guided by your heart, body, and soul.
I love that. Okay, so let's get into it. How do we create wealth? How do we open up to it? How do we let it flow? What is wealth? What is money? Let's go in there.
Well, my approach is an inside-out job. So I don't teach the nuts and bolts of like financial management, for example. But my thing is all about helping you start with finding the wealth within. So we tend to seek outward, right? We want the money, or we want the relationship, or we want the thing. And, you know, our eyes face out. That's a very, very normal thing. But I'm someone who actually grew up around a lot of wealth and with wealth, or with money, I would say, but actually felt quite poor in a lot of ways. Kind of what I would say, very alone and lonely, and a sort of a like things, but shut off from heart and soul, shut off from connection, shut off from a really deep sense of love or unconditional love. And so my thing is, you can have all the things, but if you don't have those deeper, richer connections, you can still feel quite poor. So my thing is like, let's go and find that inner wealth to create outer wealth, so that everything you're building and creating in your business and your finances and your relationship is coming from a deep, rich inner connection. And that's that inner connection with yourself, inner connection with life, inner connection with nature, with the planet, inner connection with God, the universe, source, whatever language you use, and come from that deep, rich connection. And then we start to build and create from there. So rather than for, I see a lot of people trying to build and create in their life, but it comes from a place of lack, from a place of scarcity, from a place of not enough, from feeling completely alone and separate in the world, trying to prove our worth through external results and external validation. And so I like to flip that. And what would happen if we create in our business, in our finances, in our life, from a place of deep inner connection? So we're already wealthy, right? We're already got that deep riches within, and then start to build. So my language is in alignment with your body, in alignment with your heart, in alignment with your soul, in alignment with your values, guided from, we call it God, or guided from that deep, rich inner wisdom within that comes from wholeness and comes from understanding where we are, like completely worthy and deserving as we are. So that's where I begin, and I work with like with business owners, starting with a business owner and your beautiful body and your beautiful being, and then build out from there. So it's kind of a flipping. So rather than it hyper-fixated on external results, we start within. That's the starting point anyhow.
I love it. I love it that it starts from within, because I also have the, you know, out in versus in out, where it's like, if you're looking for the answers from out there, it's not gonna go very well, right? Because it's almost like you're dependent on them. I was coaching someone who was like, if I could just get married, then everything will be okay. And then she got married, and the first thing that happened was, if I could just have a baby, then everything will be okay. You know, yeah. And it's like, nothing changed, you know, nothing about you changed. It's just the thing you're running after now is different. but the energy about it and the way that you live your life is completely the same. And I remember we had a teacher who told us, or actually the principal was the one who told us that, you know, first you're going to want to get married. And as soon as you get married, you're going to want a baby. And then as soon as you have the baby, you're going to want them to like start walking and talking and moving and doing. And then, you know, they should just get into school already so that I can have my life back. And then they get into school and you're like, oh, they should just get out of school and then graduate and be done with this, whatever, right? Like we're in this wheel of trying to find something that's going to almost like plug the hole, like you're saying, of like this lack of something that we need in order to be happier, in order to feel like we have what we need. And in reality, it's completely the opposite. Whereas like if you are where you are and you're able to be with all of the things that you have right now and accept that, you know, it's all coming, it's all here, it's all very real, it just flows better. Life is different this way.
So really interesting. This is an area I've spent a lot of time with, of course, because it's my area, but where what we want and what we desire can have be a double-edged sword. So we want, of course, and we need, you know, money, and we want our businesses to be successful, and we want certain things in life, which is really important. And I talk about, you know, waking up your wanting, get clear on what you want, what you desire. But the double-edged sword is when it's coming from lack. We want it to use it more like a creative energy or an inspiration or a desire to experience being alive in a human body at this time on this planet. You know, it's like this is pure creation. We get to create in the physical realm. So call it manifesting, right? We're manifesting our dreams or desires into reality. And that is part of the joy of being here and being alive. But the double-edged sword is when it's coming from I'm not enough, there is not enough, it is not enough. And then we're constantly in that hustle and drive for more, 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 more. That is the, you know, insatiable, it's the insatiable beast, the hungry ghost, and that you can never fill. So it's partly can be cool that you have something to focus on. You want to focus on what you want. You want to focus on building, you want to focus on creating. And I think that's really good for our brains to have a focus, have a healthy focus in terms of creating. But if it's trying to fill that void of I'm not enough, there is not enough, it really is a hungry ghost and it will never be enough. And it's constant dissatisfaction. That's what I've, you know, had to deal with a lot is this never enough. Or you think, oh, I want that thing. And then I've hit all my goals and dreams and desires. And I was like, oh, then what, you know? And that thing you wanted, you're like, oh, I thought like, it's good. I'm glad I have it now. And then it's like, and next, and next, and next. So it is a double-edged sword. Like it can be really fun and it's creative and it's great. And I think that's important, but we've got to catch hold the part that's in the wounding and in the lack. But the challenge of that is it's usually in a blind spot. It's in our unconscious. So we often don't know that that's driving us until you have enough lived experience. You're like, okay, maybe it wasn't the thing all along. So it's a really interesting one. And that's why we want to be like aware of what's driving us. Like what's the drive? What's kind of, where's this fuel coming from? Is it coming from creation, source, divinity, desire to connect, express all those things? Or is it coming from this deep place of not enoughness, which I think we can all have. So my thing is, how do we fill those wounds? How do we transform the wounds? How do we fill the void? How do we hold those parts of ourselves that feel deeply, desperately alone or deeply, desperately sad and deeply, desperately not enough? How do we hold those parts so they're not unconsciously running our lives?
Right. That's amazing. And, you know, that was something that I learned in one of like maybe 10 years ago, the poor mentality thing. Right. So we were really poor, like about, like I said, 10 years ago or so. And we were abundant, even though we had no money, we were really chill, you know, friends came over. And if, you know, if I was making something, everybody got to eat, like, I'm just an abundant type of person. And so I had this neighbor who every time her kids were eating by me, and everybody was just like partying here, you know, and I would never say anything, because I'm just happy to feed everyone. And then one time we ran out of milk. And so I asked her if I can have some milk. Now, she got free milk from some, you know, whatever source that had extra milk, and they were giving them out. And so she took a bunch of milk and put it in her freezer. And so she had a ton of milk in her freezer. And so I knew that my kids can go and ask for milk because she has milk. She gave them the milk and said, just make sure you return it because I can't afford to give you milk for free. I was like, you got it for free. You got free milk. How are you asking for payment for free milk? Right. And it's like, how do you think you can't afford to give a free milk if you have like 12 other milks in your freezer? It just didn't compute. And I realized how deep that poor mentality thing goes, where it's like, you can have it all in the moment. You can have it all, but you have this need to make sure that you hoard it or you hold it because there is something way deeper than the stuff itself, right?
Yeah. I've learned this and witnessed this with coaching so many people about money, and that what I call lack and scarcity isn't necessarily even connected to how much money you have in your bank account or the things. It's a deeper sort of survival fear that kicks in of the not enough that keeps us hoarding or gripping, clinging, fear of loss. You know, it's the psychology of it's really interesting. And again, double-edged sword is you want to make sure you're not just giving everything away all the time. And like, you know, there's a balance piece. But again, it's like, what's running our behavior? What's running that bit that wants to grip on and cling on to the milk? You know, whether it's milk or whether it's a relationship or whether it's money or whatever it is.
Well, it was obvious, like, you know, trauma. It's obvious that it's coming from a different, you know, from a deeper place of how a person grew up and had experiences. Like it's obviously not her being like, oh, I can't give you the milk. There's something deeper going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So this is what we have to kind of witness in ourselves is when are we clinging on to the milk when are we giving all the milk away and not making sure there's enough milk, you know, because some people don't know how to hold and they just constantly giving everything away. And that's another really interesting thing I've noticed, that people will manifest a lot of money or make a lot of money, but they don't know how to hold it. And they're just like getting rid of it. So there's the opposite. It's like the hoarding of it. And there's not enough. And we're kind of hiding it and pucking it away. Or sometimes there's the, I can't actually even hold it. I can't allow myself to have it. And then there's just like, let's just spend all the money is one way that would look like, right? So it's super fascinating. When we're talking about something like milk, it's easier because it's sort of a less loaded thing. But I'm so interested in the psychology of our relationship with money or our relationship with everything, to be honest, because it shows up wherever you go, there you are, right? It shows up in business, it shows up in relationship, it shows up, kind of leaks everywhere, really.
Right. Yeah. I once had a coach who said, you have to learn how to receive money, how to hold money, and how to spend money, because there is a flow that has to happen with money. And we need to have all three skills in order to create that flow, in order to allow the flow. So there is, you know, some people are better at bringing in the money, but they don't know what to do next. Some people are really good at spending it, but they don't know how to bring it in. And some people are like, I don't know how to hold it. I don't know what to do with it, right? And they sort of freak out when it's there. So there's, you know, I like that there's those three steps.
Yes. Yes, I've learned all of that the hard way because I was terrible at all of them. We were really broke, skint, as we say in the UK. We were really, really broke. I wasn't interested in money. I didn't think about it. I didn't care about it. I had no skill. I didn't know how to make it. And I didn't know how to receive it. I didn't know how to hold it. I didn't even have it really to spend. But then when it would come in, I would spend it, get rid of it. So I've been bad at all of those things and had to learn all of those steps. And each one has a slightly different energy behind it. And there's different blocks and barriers to why, you know, we don't know how to make it. I mean, they're partly just practical skills. What I find so interesting, same with like money and business, a lot of the actual doing and the how-to is relatively simple. The psychology behind it and what's running us is the thing that makes it super complicated. But I would agree that we need to be able to work on all of it, be able to create it, be able to make it, be able to receive it, be able to hold it, and also be able to spend it. What I really like to do with all of those things, because again, we have the maybe trauma-based or crisscross wires or a lot of like conditioning, a lot of conditioning around money from our family or society or the culture that we were raised in, is to really tune in. You could call it to God, to your heart consciousness, to this inner, I call it your wealthy wisdom within, and be led and guided from that part of you. And it's the whole part of you, the abundant part of you, the part that's interconnected with all of life, that's whole and complete and fundamentally deserving and enough, and really tune in around the action that you take. So for example, with spending, what I really like to do is do a conscious spending. So you're really tuning in. So the money I'm putting into, right, is kind of going to circulate back in. So we're not just getting rid of it for the sake of getting rid of it. We are putting it consciously and mindfully into something that will either be a return on investment, or it's aligned with your values. It's you're spending in alignment with what it is that you actually want and what you actually care about, right? So that everything that's going out is really conscious and mindful. Everything that's coming in, conscious and mindful, is you're opening up to receive, right? And there's a beautiful giving and receiving. But I think far too often people are just taking action that is very unconscious, and it's coming from trauma, it's coming from wounding, and we get into a real mess because we're not kind of being mindful about what we're doing with it. That's what I would say on those three subjects.
Right. I think the mindfulness is so powerful. Most people talk about mindful eating because you can just eat out of habit or eat out of, you know, trauma or stress or whatever, and you just like be grabbing things or looking for food. I've never heard about it being talked about with money, you know, how you spend the money, how you make the money, to actually be conscious and mindful of what's going on while you're doing it, so that it's not reactive, it's more like proactive. I like that.
And then if you think about, it's all like a precious resource, right? So if you think of food as energy, right, we're taking energy into the body, and it's like, what kind of energy are we taking into our body with food? So if we're doing like nutritious, healthy food, that's going to give you energy. If you're having junk food, that's probably going to like dim your energy, for example. How you're eating food, your relationship with it is everything. I had a lot of eating disorders for about 10 years. So that was my first level with sort of health and nutrition. But it really is the same with money. So there's money's also, it's energy. It's a currency. And we want to think about, it's not really what we're doing, it's how we're doing and how we're being with it and our relationship with it and how we're using it. You know, are we using it to feed and fuel and resource ourselves, or feed and fuel and resource others? Or are we using it to like hurt and harm ourselves, hurt and harm others? Often not consciously, right? We're not like actively consciously trying to hurt and harm ourselves with junk food, but it's just like we're kind of unconsciously trying to fill a void, or it's an unhealthy habit, or we're trying to shove down emotions, you know, with our food. And we can do the same with money. It's the same kind of thing. But we just, I think slightly differently with money, we're not taught about how to be with it. We're mostly not financially educated. Some people aren't taught about health and diet either. So sometimes it's just lack of education, but it's also just lack of awareness. Right. And then we suddenly find ourselves in a mess, either with, you know, a financial mess, or, and then we learn the hard way, right? We tend to wake up when there's real pain and problems that we can't ignore anymore. Unfortunately, we tend to learn the hard way as humans.
Yes. So if a person is in that place where they're like, okay, I learned the hard way, what now? How do I get into a good rhythm with money, with wealth, with believing that there is everything and I'm not lacking, even though in reality, in the illusion I'm living right now, it looks very lacking, like very lacking ground.
Yeah, good question. So first of all, like, we got some work to do, right? We got to sort of start with sort of rewiring and looking at the relationship. So what I want to say is, just like with any relationship, like, you got to give yourself some time, got to rewire some old. So what I would say is, first, please be kind and patient with yourself. And it's the first thing, like, it's not necessarily going to shift overnight. Sometimes, you know, I do have clients to like manifest money and do lots of amazing work really quickly, but I'm really interested in sustainability, right? So like, how are we going to do this? Like, you can eat really well for a day or eat really well for a week, but can you sustain it? So that's the first thing. Patience, patience, patience. Give yourself time to transform this relationship and your financial reality. Where I like to start is really getting clear on what you want. So you might be in a mess or on the floor, or there's these problems, there's this pain, is to, you know, acknowledge the pain and problem that you're in, but not get sucked into the story of it. We need to start, what I like to do is build out the reality that you truly desire, not in a sort of a disassociating way, but get clear on what it is that you do want. So what's really interesting is the pain and the problem will usually inspire you into what it is that you do want, right? So when we have the opposite experience, so we can flip it and go, okay, so you don't like that experience, what do you want? So start to get tapped into the life that you want, the experience that you want. And then where I go from there is we start to go inner game. And the question is, who do you need to become in order to create that financial reality? So we go into a place of what I call like self-empowerment, where we want to tap you into the part of yourself that has the power to create. So there will be a relationship within yourself that has unconsciously created your financial reality. And sometimes it's lack of education, lack of information, but there'll be a deeper inner game going on inside. So we want to start to transform fundamentally your relationship with yourself. So who do I need to become, right? Who is that version of me that's living that financial reality? So we start, I call it future wealthy you. So you start to kind of tap into this future reality of who you are and what you want. But then we start to bring it into the present. And this is where we start working with pain. I call it your pain portal to prosperity, where we look at the pain, we look at the problem, and we address it and meet it and face it, but with love, right? With God, with source, with this divinity. So we're not going into self-punishment or self-harm or beating yourself up. We're bringing in love, unconditional divinity, and flooding your present reality or present pain with this divinity, this unconditional love. And we want to wrap that part of you up that hasn't known how to receive love, hasn't known how to receive, go back in the receiving bit, has had some very unconscious, you know, hardwiring patterns, programs, beliefs, and start to rewrite that story. So there'll be a in there when we go into the pain, then we want to look at what's the story? What are the beliefs? What are the patterns and the programs that have been unconsciously creating my current reality? And this is the bit that's usually in our blind spot in the unconscious. And so what I say is you get clear on what you want, and then you want to be like in the present, go, what is stopping me or blocking me from creating that? What do I believe? What do I think? What's my point of view? What is my perception of reality? And start to unpick the stories. The challenge of this step is the story or the reality that you're currently experiencing feels very real, or your point of view or your perception of reality feels like the truth. Now, the reality you're experiencing, you know, I'm saying it's real. There'll be data, facts, and evidence of the pain and problem you're experiencing, but there'll be a thought about it. There'll be a story about it. There'll be emotion about it. And that, this is where we have to start kind of doing a deeper, richer process to unpick facts from fiction, right? Grounded facts from like, what am I telling myself? What is the belief and point of view? And this is quite a challenge for our human brains, because we have a very hardwired way of thinking, perceiving, believing. So we want to look at that and be like, all right, what is the belief? What is the story that has created my financial reality? For me, when I first started doing this work, was that money was bad and money was the root of all evil. And rich people are greedy and spiritual people like don't care about money, right? Because I was really, really on the spiritual side of things, I had very hardwired belief. Like it wasn't just a belief. I thought that was the facts. I thought that was truth. And I found a place in myself that I thought I was bad, right? What I hadn't really connected to within the mirroring of that was that I'd found there was a place in myself that was bad and wrong. So we need to go in and rewire those stories and be like, so what is the version of myself who's already created the results that I want? What do they think? What do they believe? What do they see? What's their point of view? And so when I tapped into future wealthy me, I was like, she had a very, very different version of reality that I'm now living now. But right. So we start to try and bridge the gap, rewrite the story in the present to start to build into your future. So that's the sort of deep hard work in a way. I call it heart work rather than hard work. And this is really rewiring your thoughts, your beliefs, your perception. I call it rewire to receive. So then you can start to like open up to receive more and more of what you want. Because if money's bad, or you know, you're just like, it's like block, 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 block. You put up all these walls to
you for sure self-sabotage, because money is nice. But if having money means that I'm a bad person, then that's definitely not worth it. And so your brain is telling you you want money, but your inner consciousness is telling you we do not want money because it's going to make us against our values, against what we believe, right? Yeah. So, you know, I have a friend who calls this the ATM machine, right? Your brain is like, and that means, so it's like, I don't have money. And that means that, you know, I'm a failure. And that means that there's something wrong with me. And that means that I'm broken. It's like, no, it just means that you don't have money right now. You know, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you have to convince your brain. It has to revise some of those stories. And
your brain, our brain is beautiful because on one hand, it's really great and it wants to protect us, it wants to work with us. On the other hand, it's sort of programmed to work on default because there's nobody sort of leading it to tell it what to do. So when your brain is on default mode, a lot of wonky things happen, and you're just sort of working with whatever you have. So we have to get really intentional.
Yeah, exactly. I like to, how I see it is your mind needs leadership. So it's like this old outdated kind of hard computer software. Your heart consciousness or the divine is got that kind of upgraded technology, but we can't see it from the hardwiring of our brain. So I like to think that the mind needs to be in kind of in service to that deeper, richer part of you. But we tend to just, because it's just going, right? It's just going on that default survival. It's trying to keep you safe, right? It's just trying to keep us safe. But anyway, so that's the work, I think, is doing that kind of. And it's hard because our logical mind will be saying all sorts of things. And sometimes it screams. I think that's the part when we go into survival brain, it's shouting. And yet that heart consciousness or God, it speaks in a very different way. It doesn't shout. It doesn't scream. It's nonviolent. So it's hard to trust it sometimes because sometimes it might be a whisper, right? It might be, it speaks in a different way. So that's the other thing is to really pay attention to who's talking, right? What voice are you going to listen to when it comes to creating in your life?
Right. I know in the Calm method that I created, so step three is listen for the answer. And it's a skill that we don't actually have because nobody has taught us this, you know, only certain people have this like ability to hear, you know, listen for the answer, actually pray for something and then stop and look for the answer and really find it. And when I was putting my reverse engineering, my process and really putting my method together, I realized that this is one of the most important skills, right? Because we're taught a lot of times like, all right, just pray for it. Just ask for it. Just, you know, manifest it, whatever. Just like, you know, ask. And of course, ask is step two. That's great, you know, but then what do you do? What do you do next? You know? And it's like, I don't know. You just keep asking. And we're missing that step of listening and learning to listen for the right answers, for the right sounds, for the right meaning. And it's very interesting because, you know, the way that a lot of us grew up, it's like, well, God said no, you know, whatever. I guess it's not happening. And we just sort of discount it and move on. And it's like, no, actually, God never says no, right? There's only three answers that God gives. It's yes, not now, or I have something better for you, right? And it's always for you and for your good. And there's never a no. And if something feels like a no, it might be not now, which is very different than a no, right? Because it just means that the timing isn't right. It's bound to come to you. So, you know, success is inevitable. You just have to have a little bit more patience. Or I have something better for you, which is like, you think this is going to solve your problems. I actually know better than you. And I'm guiding you. Just trust me. I'm guiding you to something better. And it always happens where, you know, like we almost bought a house. And in the end, the whole thing fell through. And I was in such a good mood. Like I walked out of the lawyer's office after the rejection. They just said outright, like, we don't want to sell it to you. Like, what? That's a weird response. Like that's the craziest thing, right? You come to sign a contract and they say, we decided we don't like you. We don't want to sell it to you. Huh? Right? Like the weirdest thing. And we walked out and I just like looked up and I was like, thank you. And my husband thought I was crazy. Like, what are you doing? Thank you. This, you're supposed to cry. Like, there must be something better, right? Because to us, it looks ridiculous. What does this mean? How could that be? And in reality, there's something better, way better. Anyway, so much better. We ended up buying this house, which is like a million things better than the other house. And I just, it's so fun for me to remember back and be like, I didn't fall for it. You know, I didn't fall for it. And that was the thing that kept me going. I was 8 months pregnant at the time. Like, you know, it was a part of the story, right? It was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And I just took it in such a good attitude because I had that skill of being able to listen. You know, there has to be something that is going on behind the scenes that's working in my favor. And that's a really cool attitude to have.
It's a great attitude to have, yeah. And it's like, if not this, something better. And let's say we have such a limited point of view. It's, if nothing else, us, it can help just navigate through setbacks and challenges, managing your mind. But it really is true that it's like, we can only see what we can see and we only know what we know. And there's just so many more possibilities that's beyond what the mind can fathom. So I think it's a beautiful example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, cool. So we talked about what can a person do right now if they're down, you know, feeling really low. What can a person do in order to, you know, continue that high if they already are in a good place?
Well, I call it, you know, expanding your capacity to receive. So it's, for me, then we're really playing with creation, which is a beautiful, we're always playing with creation, but it's a beautiful place if you're doing really well and things are going well, but you want to experience more just because you're alive and you want to. I think that's for me the best place, when you're not kind of in sort of survival mode and, you know, you're kind of doing well and you want to just expand that. Again, so I love tapping into what I call the future wealth of you. So it's like, what do you want? What do you want to experience next? So I call it your soul wants, like your, what, like really tapping into what is it you truly desire? What's that next adventure experience? And then tapping into that version of you again. So this is really about expanding and kind of growing into your identity and who you are and who you're becoming, deeper levels of connection, of self-empowerment. So I do this by tapping into, it's not like just coming from my mind or my ego, it's coming from a deeper, richer place. And so this is about kind of leadership, about purpose, about what you're here to do, who you're here to become, who you're here to serve. And really just allowing yourself to expand into more and expand and it through the unknown into this next level and starting to dream it up. So I do this through, I recommend doing it through like journaling, or you can do it through meditation or prayer or spending. Basically, you want to create space to really deeply listen and tune in. What's next, right? The next adventure of my life. And I think that this, from my experience, it's in alignment with where you're going. Like, it's like you're a seed of consciousness. The seed knows what to become. It just needs the right soil. It needs the right environment. And I see that you and your body is the same thing. You're your own seed of consciousness that just needs the right nurturing, the right environment to grow and to blossom and become. So I tap into it by going within, right? But we're tapping into that inner knowing and outer knowing beyond this mind thing, and then starting to like dream it up, but kind of explore, stay curious. And for me, it's pure play. Like, it's the most fun thing I think to do.
Totally. I was in your retreats a couple of times and I love it. I love the space that you create where it's just, wow, what came up? Like, how did this come up, you know, or where did this come from? There is this almost like a surprise element to it, because your brain expects to be a certain way, or, you know, looks for certain things that it thinks needs to happen. You know, that's the external sounds of like, this should be this way or whatever. But then you go in and you're like, really? That? Wow. You know, that might be easier or make more sense or whatever, but we don't think of it because it's not part of our consciousness.
Yeah, exactly. It is a bit surprising. Sometimes it's a bit confusing and like, oh, like you said, surprising. But it's also interesting. One, I think it keeps life interesting. I think growing and evolving is something that helps us to feel fulfilled. But also, like you said, sometimes we're doing things like we're making things way harder than they need to be. So it's like there's certain solutions that if we just do a little pivot or little micro adjustments can make all the difference. And so we need to just take some space to step back, step out of our business, actually step out of our life for a minute, step out of our relationships, and just kind of like have a review and see, hey, are we on track? Like, where are we going here? And so I like to do this. I do this pretty regularly, but I particularly like doing it at the start of the year and even quarterly. Like, are we on track? Where are we? Because sometimes we can sort of go off on one and decide like, right, this is what's happening now. But it's not quite it. Not terrible, but it's not the most aligned, not the most like in flow way. So I'm always looking, I call it like the wealth frequency, like the creative current. Where's the flow? Where's the flow? And that flow is kind of moving and changing. It's not a straight line. That's my favorite place to play.
Yeah. This is also where, you know, if you're down at the bottom, you have a lot of stories and a lot of meanings and a lot of beliefs and a lot of things. And you think you work through all of them. And then you hit a place where it's like, oh, things are good. And now I want more. Wait a minute. I'm not allowed to ask for more because I already got all this. And, you know, so that's right. When everything comes up again and you're like, you didn't expect it because you thought you got over it. Like, I already dealt with this. Why am I dealing with this again? I love that. I love that it comes up and you're like, oh, I've seen you before. And it's like next level you, right? So, ooh, what are we doing now? You know? And that's one of the things that I found is really fascinating, is being able to really deal with the stuff on a deeper level.
Definitely. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, it's like you think, oh, dealt with it, another cycle. And so I'm, you know, I started out as a healer, like I'm sort of a healer through and through. Like I'm really interested in alchemy and transformation. And it's interesting how sometimes you revisit certain parts or certain patterns or certain programs, or maybe even old trauma can get re-triggered or activated. Every time you're up-leveling, I find it's really interesting. Like you can, old wounds can come up and old pain and all that, but that just needs to be held. It's like, oh, another cycle, right? Another opportunity to grow and evolve and heal and transcend the, you know, the past, really. I'm really interested in, you know, transforming the pain of the past, alchemizing in the present to create a new future, you know, much more aligned future for yourself, you know, for your business, for all the lives that you touch. And I think this is one of the ways that we do that, like rising into new levels of self-empowerment, connection, leadership, and then contribution from there. Because the more empowered you are and the more expanded you are, the greater impact and waves you make in the world from your, just from your being, just from your energy. So that's what one of the benefits is. If you're kind of service driven or contribution driven or legacy driven, that's like another reason to keep growing as well.
Right. And the work never stops. I was just taking a course and he says, love the work. Cause it will always be here. You know, it's like, you can't complain about the work and be like, oh, I just want it to be over. Cause actually the work is never going to be over. We're always going to be working on something, you know. So, the cool thing is the more you work, the more muscle you get, the more clarity you have, the more of a direction you are on. And so it really does get easier in a way, and you get stronger, so you're able to lift more. But at the end of the day, it's not about getting rid of the work, but it's about being able to be aware of when you have to put in the work and also know that you have the tools you need in order to do it.
That's such a good point you're making, because there was definitely a time when I started doing this work that I was trying to get somewhere. Like I was trying to get there. And then I got there and I was like, oh, now I need to get there. And it was that chasing the carrot thing again. And I finally got, this is the game. It's not going to stop. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be a problem to solve. There's always going to be a challenge. There's always going to be things to go for. Enjoy it. This is the ride. This is the ride of being a human being on this planet at this time. And it did take me quite a while to get that. So 100%, I guess you get more, yeah, like I said, more resilient. You get more skills, you get more experience. And then I think we have a natural desire to share what we know as well. We can then start giving back. I like to see it like we grow deeper, stronger roots, right? Like a tree, the roots get deeper and stronger and then we can grow higher and then we can bend like with the wind. So the rains are going to come, the storms are going to come. There'll be sunny days, there'll be rainy days. The like hard things will happen, good things will happen, but it's like, how strong and resilient are we? How much can we weather the storm and bend with life or flow with life? And so that's how I'm seeing it more, is around like strength and resilience and flexibility, and trying to like enjoy the ride, try to remember it's a game.
Enjoy the ride. I think that just realizing that wealth is a tool for growth, right? And it's not about reaching a certain outcome as much as it is having that goal be, you know, sort of like where I'm going, that's the target. And then on my way there, who am I becoming? Like you said, tapping into becoming the next version of yourself, really leaning into all the tools you need and, you know, learning what you need to learn. By the time you get there, it's just going to be a natural flow onto the next lighthouse or whatever, right? Because it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, this is it. I have to remind, like when we're going too hard, I have to remind myself, like, remember, this is the, you love this, you know, you love growth, you love evolution, you know, you love a challenge, you love to overcome, you love to like problem solve, you know. It doesn't always feel fun though in the moment, does it? But it's trying to remember. And then the thing that really helps me is to remember I'm going to die, you know, and this is a really temporary thing. I actively think about death every day. I actively think about it because this body is temporary, right? And right. It really helps me to kind of get over myself. I'm like, hey, this is a short ride. Enjoy, you know, this is a temporary adventure. So that really, I believe in, you know, soul and eternity and all of that. But this Lara, this body, this version of me is a temporary experience. That really help is sometimes it's, you know, sad, it makes me sad sometimes too, so I'm like, but I like it here. But then it helps me to go, you know, like just to unhook from the grip that's like constantly trying to keep me safe and keep me small and keep me kind of, you know, we can kind of get really contracted. That actually helps liberate me. It's like, all right, like let's enjoy, this is precious, every moment is precious. So I have to remind myself of that as well. That's a practice some people don't like, but that really helps me personally.
Yeah, actually, this is really aligned with, you know, what we believe. If you think about it, like, you know, a baby inside the womb, you know, if you came and told it that there was a whole world outside and that you're going to go out there and live a real life and have all these things, like, no, you don't understand. I'm nice and comfy here. I have everything I need. I get fed. I hear my mother's heartbeat. I am in good hands. I am not going anywhere. You know, and it's like, yeah, but this is just temporary. You're going somewhere else and it's better. And you're going to have, you know, everything you need there too. It's like, no, I'm not going, too comfy here. Right. And then it's born and it's like, oh, okay. I can adjust. I can deal. And then what happens is we get so comfy in this world, we don't realize there's actually something way better that we're going to be, you know, born into once this part is over. But we grip it so hard and we hold on so tight and we're like, but I'm comfy here and I have everything I need and I worked so hard to make this life be so perfect and I, you know, I bought the house and I had the kids and I did this and I did that, and you know, and we hold on to the stuff, and in reality the stuff doesn't have any value in the next world. The next world is all about who your soul, you know, your soul and what you've acquired with your actions and your, you know, thoughts and your whatever service you've done. So the currency there is very different. And when you remember that, then it changes your whole perspective on what this life is actually really all about.
Yes. 100%. It's what a ride. I mean, it's all quite like funny, not funny, but it's so good to remember. I think about birth a lot. I think about death a lot and these transitions. And we go through all these like little mini death and rebirths throughout life too, right? Like right now my daughter is 18 and my youngest is 15, and like I'm transitioning in my mothering, like I'm getting older. Like we're constantly, like nothing's actually permanent, really. It's like everything's temporary, really, if you think about it. So it's like when I can relax into that and remind myself just to surrender. I have to actively remind myself too, because that survival brain's trying to grip and cling. So it's like, just let go, enjoy the ride, open up to life, receive it, let it in and live? Like, how, like, what would it look like if you just show up fully and live this life as fully as you can and see what happens, you know, watch the magic unfold. So
I love that. That feels like a perfect place to just like, okay, guys, let's go. Imagine yourself. Look at the magic. Let's do it. Oh, I love it. Okay, tell us about the retreat that's coming up, because I have been at least two of them, and I think everybody should experience such a thing.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so it's called the Living Abundance Wealth Retreat. It is a five-day online event. It's absolutely free for big-hearted business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, anyone who really wants to get more connected to your natural ability to consciously create everything we've been talking about. I use money as an activator, business as an activator, but this is really about you stepping into that next level of leadership in your business, your finances, and your life in alignment with your ability to create and ability to co-create, which I believe is our innate ability. We're just cut off from it. We haven't been taught, we've forgotten. And this is like a deep remembering of who we are, why we came here, and what's possible for us. And I take you through each day. I'm taking you through my step-by-step process. It's my money manifestation math mastery methodology with lots of inspiration, lots of connection, and to give you the lived experience of it. So I have a lot of people who make the most money at these retreats. They manifest contracts, clients, amazing experiences, relationships, really cool things happen in the event as well, or post-event. It's also a really amazing network of entrepreneurs and business owners who are really service-led, who want to make a really big difference in the world. And for me, I don't know about you, but like I've felt often like quite like lonely or different. And it's really, really amazing to be with a group of people. We're all different. We all come from different cultures and backgrounds around the world, but there's this kind of soul alignment piece. And it's really amazing to be connected and networking with people who are on a similar vibe to you. So I would love you to join us if you want to come in, check it out and rock this year, right? Rock this year to come. And we'll be seed planting for the future as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Everybody should come. I'm going to put the link below so that you all can join and really enjoy it. I blocked off my calendar. I know I am so excited about it. Oh. I'm looking forward to it. And I want as many of my friends and, you know, followers to be there, because there's some real deep experiences that, you know, come out of that retreat. Every time it blows me away. It's just phenomenal.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you for doing the work you're doing.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. It's my great pleasure to share it. I would love you to so glad to be with you next week, and just look forward to meeting some of you as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you to all of you for listening, and don't forget to be connected for real, and we'll see you next week.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revetzin Batren Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can be connected for real.